Today on The Journey.
God rested on the seventh day. He celebrated the completeness of His creation. And today you can rest in Him and celebrate the completeness of the work of Christ. Because Jesus is our Sabbath rest.
How large is the universe? The word that comes to mind is vast. A companion question is, how large is your God? From His lips, our vast universe was spoken into being. That makes Him larger still. And today, Ron Moore begins a series which reveals the God who is greater than all creation, yet stoops to befriend you and me. It'll transform how you look at the stars and the problems you face. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled Creation on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and open to Genesis chapter 1. Moses is the author of Genesis. Moses' job was very clear. He was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. They had been in Egypt for 430 years, about 230 of those years in slavery. And he wanted to show them three things. First, how God brought you into existence. First, creation, as we see today, and then how He brought the nation of Israel into existence with the patriarchs at the end of Genesis. He's going to tell them why God brought them into existence. God has a special plan for you. He has something for you to do. And He's going to tell the people of Israel how they respond to God, how they are to live this life that God has called them to. By the way, those three things God still tells us today, doesn't He? Through His Word. So here we have Moses speaking to this group of people who have been in slavery for all these years in this polytheistic culture. And the first thing he tells them in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, giving this summary statement of all creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Israelites, there are not many gods. I want you to know that God is a creator of all things. Any creature someone worship was created by this God who has opened the sea for us, who has led us in the wilderness, who leads us by day and by night. This is the God we serve. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for God that Moses uses is the Hebrew word Elohim. It is a plural word, but not representing the Trinity. It's called a plural of intensity or a plural of majesty. The verb is actually singular. God is God. There is no one like Him. He is the mighty creator. He is the one who holds authority over all things. He is the sovereign one over all things. He is powerful over all things. There is no one like Elohim, and it's Elohim, your God, who created the heavens and the earth. That's His action, this word created. It's the Hebrew word bara, and it's only used of God. Man can build stuff. Man can form stuff. But he has to have stuff to do it. God, bara. God creates out of nothing. Ex nihilo. He speaks the world into existence. So in the first summary statement, we have the subject of the sentence that's the subject of the entire book, the subject of the Bible, God. He created, and here's the scope. He created the heavens and the earth. You got the subject, you got the action, you got the scope, and you have the timing in the beginning. This is not in the beginning of God. God already existed. We'll learn about that in other places. But He's saying in the beginning, this is the time when God started creating the world as we know it. After the summary statement, the work begins. And Moses paints a picture of what the earth looked like as God started creating. He says the earth was without form, and it was void, it was empty, and darkness was over the deep in this nothingness. God begins to create. Now, there may be something else going on here that's interesting. Here's God before anything existed, and then we get to verse 2, and it seems chaotic, darkness, and formlessness. So God's perfect, so where did that come from? In Genesis 1:1, God began creating the heavens and earth. But that's not the beginning of his creative work. There's something that God created before Genesis 1:1. He created the angels. In Job chapter 38, as he's talking to Job, he says, you know, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Where were you when I put all this together? And the angels were shouting for joy and singing for joy. So the angels were at creation. We also know there was this one angel named Lucifer, literally light bearer. And we know from Ezekiel 28 that he was magnificent, God's beautiful angel. And we know from Isaiah 14 that pride took over and he wanted to be like God. And we know from Isaiah 14 that he was cast from heaven. We also know in Genesis 3, he's already there. Could it be that verse 2 is the consequence of Satan who's cast from heaven? If that's the case, then as God creates this order, we see him restoring for the first time what Satan had messed up. So as God speaks into this emptiness and darkness, he begins to reorder it. He begins to bring form to this emptiness. Now, one more thing in this verse, the Spirit of God is there hovering over the waters. Hovering is a great word. It's used in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and there it's used of an eagle that's hovering over its nest. It's watching over it, taking care of it. And here's this picture. There's this darkness. There's this watery deep. But the Spirit of God's there as this new creation's about ready to come. All right, let's go through the days of creation. First 3 days of creation remedied formlessness and the darkness. God said in verse 3, let there be light, and what? There was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and that was evening and morning, the first day. First of all, verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness night. That's very significant. In the ancient Near East, when you named something, you had authority over it. You owned it. So to these Israelites who had been in a culture where all these gods were served, the god of the sun, Ra, in Egypt, God owns him. God has authority over him. He is the God of gods. Very significant. Now, the Israelites would not have known this, but today, with the full revelation of Scripture, we know something else is going on, don't we? Turn to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians says it this way, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers, rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So right there in the first three verses of Genesis, we have the Father, we have the Spirit, and who do we have in verse 3? The Word. And we know now through John, it's Jesus. Right there, we have the Trinity. Moses was not trying to teach the Israelites the Trinity, but as he describes God, there's not a surprise that that comes out, because that's who God is. One God in three persons. Now, one more thing here. Look at the end of verse 5, the first day, that word day is the Hebrew word yom. It can mean a literal 24-hour day. That day, yom, is also used to express a period of time. I believe, I don't have time to go into the details, I believe it is a literal 24-hour day that God created the heavens and the earth in these 6 days. There are other godly people who believe it's a period of time. But the point is bigger. God is the one always who is directly involved in every act of creation. He is the creator, and there is none other. Day 2, the sky and the waters. Verse 6, and let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called this expanse heaven. And there was evening and morning and the second day. Now, it wasn't the highest heaven, but God created the sky. So the sky and the waters. He created the atmosphere. The expanse, that word literally means a beating out of a metal plate. It's like a metal plate now is above the earth. In Psalm 104, it's called a tent curtain. In Isaiah 40, it's called a veil. But now there's this veil. There's the sky above the earth. And again, it's called the heavens, the word's heaven, but it's not the highest heaven where God dwells. It's the heavens that we see. We look up to the heavens, we could say. Or look at day 3, land and vegetation. Look at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. Circle that when you see that in your Bible. That just means God established it. That became the order. It was so. God called the land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, he called the seas, and God saw that it was good. And so God causes the land to rise up from the bottom of this deep ocean, and it rises up, and then he puts a boundary around the seas. He contains the seas, again demonstrating his power, because there were a lot of gods of seas, and God is the one who puts that water in his boundaries. So here God creates the land and he creates the seas. He does a second creation on day 3 as well. Look at verse 11. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to its own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which is their kind, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, I created all this. In fact, I even created within the trees and the plants a way for them to recreate themselves. I am God, and there is no other. The first 3 days address the formlessness. The last 3 days now begin to fill the earth. Remember, on day 1, God said, let there be light. Now on day 4, corresponding back to day 1, he begins to fill the earth. He remedies the emptiness in these last 3 days. And on day 4, we have lights for the day and lights for the night. Look at verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. That's how it works. It was established. And God made 2 great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that's the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon. And then he made the stars also. Now let's think about that. It said if you could take a dime on a clear night and hold it up, you'd be blocking out 15 million stars. Hey, and by the way, God made the stars also. Most of us have God in this little box, don't we? He's very small in our mind. And Genesis 1:1 says, our God is not small. And that great God loved us so much that he reduced himself to a little baby to die on a cross for our sins. And if God is that big and he cares that much, he's got great plans for you. So much bigger, as the New Testament says, than we could even think or imagine. We have to understand the bigness of God. And we got to understand that this God we serve is an amazing God. Day five, God creates life for the sea and the sky. Remember on day two, he created the sky, and now the corresponding day, he fills it with birds and animals. Let's look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of heaven. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on earth. And there was evening and the morning and the fifth day. And then one more day, day six, corresponding to day three, when God brings up the land. Now he puts life on the land. He handled the formlessness in day three, and now on day six, he handles the emptiness. He puts animals and man on the land. And we're going to see next time the creation of man. And what does it really look like for man to be created in the image of God? One more thing here. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work it had done. And he blessed the seventh day. And he made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Rest is a word, sabbat. We get the word Sabbath from it. It means celebration of completion. It means enjoyment of accomplishment. On the seventh day, God celebrated the creation. He celebrated the completion. He said, not only is it good, but what did he say after day six? It is very good. Two lessons from Genesis 1:1 through 2:3. First one is this. God is the creator. God is sovereign over all creation. Israel just came from a culture where many gods are served. Moses says, we don't do that here. We have one God. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He is all authoritative. He is God, and there is none other. He is the creator of all things. It is to him we owe our allegiance. It's to him we owe our obedience. In fact, the first commandment, God said through Moses, you shall have no other gods before me. Let's just start there. If you serve me and me only, I am the only one worth serving. Nature obeyed the word of God, and so should we. In Romans chapter 1, it says that God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature can be clearly seen ever since the creation of the world. So you can look up and you can say, this is an amazing creation. Someone created that. And God says creation itself renders every person without excuse. What an amazing creation. The heavens, Psalm 19, declares the glory of God. We should be those people who look up every night in the sky and praise God for who he is and allow that great creator to be the God of our lives. Second lesson in Genesis. God did not stop creating at creation. The God who created order from chaos and light from darkness and lifelessness into life can do the exact same thing for you. Some of you are here today and your life is in chaos. You are living in darkness. You have not trusted in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior. Your life represents Genesis 1:2, chaos and emptiness, formlessness and darkness. And I want to tell you today some good news. God can recreate you. He can breathe life into your dead soul. You can't do anything to be good enough for God. Ephesians 2 says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive in Christ Jesus. He's not done with creation. He made us alive, and he can do the same thing for you. And today we are begging that you trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God. He wants to recreate you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things gone, the new things have come, not because of what you did, but because of what God did for you. God rested on the seventh day. He celebrated the completeness of his creation. And today you can rest in him and celebrate the completeness of the work of Christ. God took the Sabbath and he put it in the Ten Commandments. All of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament except one. Remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, is not repeated in the New Testament. And why would that be? Because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Because Jesus is the one we celebrate for the completion. We don't have to keep working. We can trust in him alone, and we can find our rest in him alone. Ephesians chapter 4, 9 and 10. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. See, we don't have to keep working our way to God. We can't be good enough for God. Jesus did the work for us, and part of trusting in him is to celebrate that completeness and finally find Sabbath, rest in him. Some of you are restless. You can find rest in God, celebrating his completed work in your life. One more thing. Some of you are here and you trusted in Christ. There's no doubt about that. But you are stalled and you are stale. Maybe life just got in the way. I don't know. Life does that, doesn't it? And you just wake up one day and you say, man, I have little desire to really fall hard after God. Maybe a big sin got in your way. That happens too. Maybe a lot of little sins. And you're still God's child. It's just that you're distant. You feel stale. The relationship has been strained. Psalm 51, David knew that well. He sinned greatly. And he said in chapter 51, 1, have mercy on me, God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Man, I need you to forgive me because I have sinned against you. Look at verse 3. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me against you, and you only have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. God, I have sinned. Look at verses 9 and 10. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my transgression. Here's that word, bara. Only God can do this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive, is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
That word living soul reminds us and helps us understand what it means to be made in the image of God. What does it mean for us to be made in the image of God?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Finally, Please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening. And we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.